Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
How many believe that you're called to be a preacher? You're supposed to preach. How many believe that you're actually supposed to preach? How many of you would have read your Bible enough in your day-to-day walk that if I would have called you at 9 o'clock last night, you'd have a message this morning? Okay, it's good. Now I know who to call. And I say that because I was sitting last night at 9 o'clock going, who can I call to preach a message tomorrow? And the Lord spoke to me. He says, are you a leader? And I said, yeah. And he says, leaders are readers. And I heard that in a message that Susie sent me to listen to on the airplane ride home from Dallas. Leaders are readers. And she sent it to me in the beginning of the week. And I've been in Dallas at the lighting show, you know, all week. We figured out that was probably the 37th or 38th week that I've been in Dallas in my career. There was one guy that it was his 100th lighting show. He's old. He knew Edison. And he got a big cake, and we all ate it. And something happened this week, and it's interesting is it's, you know, you go to the lighting show, you take your customers out to dinner, and they're expensive dinners, but it's where you build the relationships for business. The problem is that I'm about the Father's business, and I have always struggled with, because I think I should get everybody saved, and that's not always the case. And I saw something happen. Susie and I were talking, and about 2001 or two, we were so broke. Our business was so bad, and two of the reps that we worked with got with their manufacturers and bought us airplane tickets and got us a hotel, and we were on credit hold with every single manufacturer. We were on the threat of bankruptcy, but these two guys believed in us enough to basically give us a vacation. But we walked around the lighting show. Where's Mama? We walked around the lighting show, and we felt like we had leprosy. You would go into this manufacturer's and he'd see his new stuff, but they weren't going to take an order from you. You're on credit hold. You run into this rep. Why is he there? They're on the verge of bankruptcy. Why are you looking at new stuff? You know, sometimes when you have a dream on the inside of you, you look at new stuff you can't afford. One of the most interesting things happened on that trip that changed me and Susie for eternity. We went back to the Sheraton. We were downtown at the Sheraton, very nice hotel. And there was just kind of a chaise lounge that Susie was sitting in. She said, come here. And I got on my knees. I laid my head in her lap. And she started worshiping. God filled that hotel. The worst crushing, the worst rejection, and she started worshiping, and God showed up. I just laid my head in her lap, and she worshiped. And I said, wow. You know, there's this preacher that moved to Dallas. His name is T.D. Jakes. We should go see him. So he's got this big church out west of way from Dallas. So we show up at T.D. Jakes's 20,000 member church. We pull up in a limousine. We are so broke we can't pay attention, but we can rent us a limousine to go hear the gospel. We pull up, man, they're moving. Come on in. You know, they think I'm a rock star. The problem is I am. They just hadn't figured me out yet. We get dropped off. The problem is we didn't know how we were getting home. And we're way out in the boondocks. And as funny as it, this week Susie reminded me of that, because when the preaching got done, the church is so big that they had buses that would bus you from the front of the church to an off-site parking lot. And the people we were sitting next to worshiping said, "We'll take you back." We're talking about a 20-mile to go downtown back. We'll give you a ride back. So we're with them, and we're on a bus. We are the only white people on the bus. I'm in the front preaching Jesus. Susie's in the back. And she said she had an encounter with God. I don't know where we're going, but it's okay.
Amen, amen.
This week was a different week for me. Because I am all that in a bag of chips now. I no longer have leprosy. I'm one of the top producers. My company has made some bold moves and changed the dynamics of our industry. And I've watched our leadership for 3 years in a row point a new vision, point a new purpose, and it's against everything we'd all been taught for 40 years. And 3 years later, we've pulled it off. And now I walk around. And people go, "Oh, Charlie, hey, how's it going? Hey, yeah." Call me preacher. We had a tornado warning. And so our early sales meeting Friday morning, one of the bosses is up saying, "Listen, you know, if you hear the siren or you hear a train coming, it's a tornado. Find a safe place. Go into a stairwell, go into a closet." And somebody says to him, "Well, we're following you." And Matt goes, "No, I'm following the preacher." And these are all the people. And the other goes, "Yeah, we're all following the preacher." And I'm thinking, holy moly, God, what have you done in these 20 plus years? And I realized they could eliminate me at 30 days. That's my contract is a 30-day contract. And I realized if they did, I'd still be okay. I'm not their slave. Amen. Even though I'm one of their top producers. And God has allowed me to be me. We went to dinner, my two employees, Jamie and Tony, with one of the most high-powerful ladies in our industry. She's now over five major markets, and I've tiptoed around her. Powerful women scare me. I mean, she's a power broker. But I saw something in her 3 or 4 years ago. We were out to a really nice dinner, and the fourth man in the fire showed up. Prophetic turned on. It was crazy. We didn't even talk business. She's starting to talk to my girl, Jamie. "Well, how come you don't go to church anymore?" "Oh, so I'm the only one that got hurt in church? How come I..." And she's challenging my employee, who used to be a worship leader for Clint Brown, who's got hurt and doesn't want to go to church. So now my customer is challenging her. "Well, if you go to church, I'll go to church with you." I'm thinking, God, what is going on here? So then she starts talking to Tony and goes, "Well, that woman you're living with, is she the one?" "Yeah, then why don't you marry her? If she's really the one, you need to be, you know, you want her to be submissive, but you won't even take her name. You won't even give her your name to her." I'm thinking, this woman can preach. And she says, "You know, the 10th floor is a jury floor. When we get done buying lights, I'm going to take you up there. You're going to buy her a ring." And he's going, "Oh, okay." The prophetic kicks in. She's crying. Tony's crying. Jamie's crying. I'm crying. The fourth man is there. She looks at me and she goes, "What are you doing selling lights?" You have a huge calling on you. And I says, you know, you do what you're supposed to until the calling manifests. And Tony goes, that's why Jamie and I are here. If we do our job, then he can go do what he's supposed to. And we walked out of there. I mean, you should see the text. She sent me this text. I'll never forget this dinner as long as I live. She put something together. Jamie's father's a Christian in the industry. She says, the only other time I had a dinner like this was your father. And her father had talked about how she met Christ. She goes, and now you're finishing the story. Jamie goes, I'm not, he is. And it was interesting how all of this stuff was going on. Meanwhile, leaders are readers. And I'm sensing something's going on, and I'm sensing that I'm on the other side of a few crushings. And I read from Genesis 38 to Genesis 50, which is the story of Joseph. And you realize that when you're young and daddy's favorite, which I was, well, mommy's favorite, which is my story. And he gets a coat of many colors, and he has this dream where his brothers are bowing down to him. And then he gets a second dream where his mom and dad are bowing down to him. And it's a God dream. Anybody got a God dream? Anybody got a God dream? Let me tell you something. When you have a God dream, the first thing God's going to do is crush you so the dream becomes predominant. Yes. And not you. And Joseph got sold by his brothers. And listen, there's this whole story. I'm reading this whole story while I'm working my tailbone off. And really nice dinners. I'm Dakota Steak. It's an underground restaurant. Best. Really, really good. We're wining, we're dining, we're this. But I'm reading these stories. And I realize that I've gone through some crushing. I realize that I have a dream. I've had more dreams. I had more promises. And I started valuing the rejections. I started valuing me laying my head on Susie's lap. When I couldn't find hope for my dream, she worshiped it into existence. Joseph was sold by his brothers. He sold him to the Hittites. I think that's interesting because later on, Joseph said, you sold me into Egypt. It's time to nurture our God-given dreams and understand that because of a God-given dream, you must be crushed or you will abuse the power of the dream. You will abuse the power when you get there. Joseph gets a coat of many colors, you know, covering. He's dad's favorite. Why is he dad's favorite? Because he was the firstborn of the wife that Jacob loved. And I'm reading this, and God's putting this, you know, a lot of my children were born into family, not from the wife that the father loved. And the word that I gave for 2020 is that the anointing of the multi-breasted one is going to bring back our nurturing and heal our broken hearts and give us our identity. And we're in this season where Joseph and Benjamin were the two children born from Rachel, which was the wife that Jacob loved. And it put a division in the family. I mean, I don't have 12 brothers and sisters. I only have 3 sisters, and we're dysfunctional. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
I've met some of your family members. But as I'm reading these chapters, and I'm going through this week, and I'm looking at my history, and I'm sitting in a restaurant, an expensive restaurant, 4 of us, and God shows up, and he reawakes the dream. Somebody of influence goes, what are you doing selling lights when you have this calling? And then people around me go, that's why I'm here. I'm telling you, if we don't catch this, we will miss the purpose of the crushings. Joseph gets sold into Potiphar's house, becomes very successful. He learns his gift, he learns his trade, and then he has to pass the test of the moral test. He's good looking. He's got all the influence and good looking. I understand this. It's rough passing that test. But he passed the test, but he goes into prison. And if in prison, he finds favor with God. Go read the text. He finds favor with God in prison. How many feel like you've been in prison? Did you find favor with God in prison? Because that's where you hone your skill set. That's where you hone your ability to interpret Pharaoh's dream. You do it with the baker and you do it with the cupbearer. I'm telling you, he found favor with God in prison. I'm telling you, if some of you need to quit having slave mentality and find favor and realize it's a skill set he's trying to birth within you. Because if you don't embrace the crushing will brace you.
Yes.
I'm telling you, the crushing which brings the fragrance.
Yes.
Because only God can get you out of that prison and back into the palace when you have a fall like that. See, I went bankrupt in 2010. I almost was going bankrupt when I couldn't figure my dream out. But in 2010, I went bankrupt, and I did it with integrity. And I did it because I believe God said to me, you choose. If you choose business, I'll make you a paymaster. If you choose ministry, I'll make you a leader in a move of God. I chose ministry. Now I'm back in business. So I did. Bankruptcy didn't choose me. I chose bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a different mentality when you're willing to take the crushing the way he brings it to you. So I walk through the hallways now. No one talks about my bankruptcy. They think I'm lucky. They think it's my skill set. No, it's the dream that I've been tested with.
Yeah.
It's the dream that I've been tested with, but I value the one that says to me, I can't believe you're selling lights as much as you know God. You wrote books? Yeah. So I took one of my books on rape to righteousness because one of the customer service people said I wanted a copy. You don't go handing a book about rape around your fellow employees. That's not smart. But she asked. So I wrote some things in the front of it. I put it in my bag. And I said, God, I am not giving it to her until she asks for it. What are the chances of her remembering that? Hey, you got my book? Yeah, I got your book. Why? Because I saw something that she had been wounded by rape at a young age. I didn't hand it to the people that would use it as a rock and throw it at me. You got to get smart when you share your dream. You got to get smart when you share your principles. Otherwise, they won't follow you when a tornado comes. That's a good word right there. Joseph, let me tell you the test that Joseph passed. When he passed the moral test, then the hardest test was that he gave an interpretation of the baker and the cupbearer, and both of those interpretations came true. You ever tried to self-promote to help God out? I have. It's called manipulation. I carry a gift. I actually control the gift. It's not near as impactful when God gives it to me versus I do it. Because I can read your soul and say enough things that feel good to you. Oh, he has a gift. But it's not from God, therefore it won't produce. It'll just stroke your ego with flattery. Beware of the prophet who only brings a flattering word. Been around that. Matter of fact, one of my elders called me with a dream. Beware of flattery, basically. Flattery will get you everywhere, especially in trouble.
There you go.
I don't know why I had to go there, but I did. So Joseph has to sit for two more years in prison. You know why? He was waiting on the sovereignty of God to bring a nation into alignment so God could give Pharaoh a dream that nobody could interpret. He cannot interpret a dream. God's giving Pharaoh a dream that will save an entire nation, and no one can interpret it. But the cupbearer goes, hey, a couple years ago when I was in prison, there's this guy who knows God. There's this guy who knows God. I'm walking up on the fourth floor. When I became a Christian, I was so wide out open, everybody knew it. In our industry, the core of our industry is Jewish owned. And there's a guy named Larry, I won't even mention his name, he's old and a Jew. When I was going to Israel on a trip, he gave me money. He was one of my reps, and he gave me money. He wrote this thing, I've loved you. I've always loved you. You've always respected me as a Jew. I want to give you some money when you go to Israel. Simple little note. I ran him into the hallway. Hey, Larry, how you doing? Charlie, how you doing? He goes, everything good? I said, man, everything's going great. He goes, yeah, I know. I keep watching all your stuff on YouTube. Yeah, everything's good. Oh, I know, everything's good. You're still preaching. You never know. You never know. You're walking through, this rep has died. This one lost this line. This manufacturer's gone. You know, I've been there a long time. I've seen a lot of changes. And it's amazing who recognizes me that I didn't even know they knew. There's something about surviving in the long term. When Joseph finally gets recognized and he comes and he interprets Pharaoh's dream, he also adds wisdom to it. So much wisdom that Pharaoh goes, hey, I think I'm going to make you number two in charge. Execute the wisdom that God gave you. There are scriptures that says basically, other than Pharaoh himself, he had complete control. Whatever is in your heart to do, do. That's a pretty good promotion. That's kind of like overnight. Right? But what about the crushings? How many crushings are you going through that is going to absolutely stop you so that when the moment that's time to go to the palace, you're ready? Have you let that crushing turn bitterness? Have you let the crushings turn into bitterness and doubt and unbelief? See, delay is not denial.
All right, come on.
Delay is not denial. I walked around, I'm like, holy moly, I'm all that in a bag of chips. I've arrived. I looked around. And the Lord says, go tell our new owner, I said this, and tell him that this is your life story. This is your life scripture. I said, God, he's a Jew. He's a joke. I've never talked to our owner. He knows who I am. I've never talked to him. I stayed away from him. Right? Because I caused trouble. But I walked up to him and I said, can I give you my opinion on the sales meeting this year? He goes, sure. I said, I've watched you for 3 years in a row. The first time you came in and you changed everything, and all of us were absolutely petrified if we were going to make the cut, because you changed everything. I took a deep breath. I go, I'm a builder guy. I don't do what you do. And I wondered if I fit. But you painted a picture of a vision of your purpose, and I felt like I fit. Then last year you did this and this and this, and I told him some things. I said, but this year you did something unique. By the way, this is the third time he's changed the name of our company.
Oh,
When he did it for the third time, you can hear people go, oh my God. I'm thinking, I can buy new business cards again. That was my worst thought. I can afford them. But here's what I said to him. I said, I live by a Bible verse in everything I do. He said, really? I said, it's a New Testament one, though. A house divided cannot stand. I said, I deal with that with marriages. I deal with that with relationships. I deal with that in church leadership. I deal with that in business. I says, and what I heard you say today or yesterday, you closed the door on the division in this company. He has successfully, in 3 years, merged six major brands into one name. And the atmosphere changed between all of us siblings. I'm the builder guy. You're the showroom guy. I'm the premier line. I'm the, you know, builder line. And we were, for 3 years, taking pot shots at everybody. Because we didn't know if we fit. I didn't know who had the coat of many colors. I thought it was me because in my area, I'm probably the best. But it's not about me anymore. It's about this family thing that he did. And I said to him, I said, you closed the door on that. I actually saw clearly what you did. He went, thank you. He's gone. The guy I really answer to, 2 days later, he goes, wow, you really impressed him. I explained to him that you're a prophet. I'm like, oh, God. Why did you do that? And the Lord says, why? Are you afraid you can't interpret his dream? Dream on, baby. Dream on, because I got more to do. Here's the situation, though. And seriously, there was a lot of relationships that were ruffled. But when Joseph finally got to where Pharaoh put him in charge, and I've shared this before, but I had this encounter a few years ago, and God brings it up to me. A few years ago, I had a vision about Joseph, except I was Joseph in the vision. And Pharaoh was presenting me to all of Egypt. This is my Joseph. And he put a gold chain on, put a robe on me, gave me a signet ring so I could do business. And I was being promoted in this vision. I was Joseph. Here's the bad part. I wasn't ready for Joseph 2 years ago. Because in that vision, I looked over and I found Potiphar's wife. I went, keep the jacket. And when I did that to her, fear came on her. Because I had just risen to power. And I'll tell you something, the real test, the real process of the crushing will be the test on how you either crush somebody else or promote them. But in this vision, I said to Potiphar's wife, keep the jacket. Fear came on her. I knew I could intimidate her. I knew I could manipulate her. That's why we have to embrace our crushings. If you don't embrace the crushing of God, when the real fulfillment of the power will come in, we will damage people. This week, I had multiple opportunities to say, nana, nana, nana. But I didn't. And there's a humbling in me because I know I couldn't have done any of this. Come on. I couldn't have done any of this. This is why one dinner with one woman was worth the whole week. This is why one moment of conversation after reading one chapter of my book was worth everything. This is why hearing two employees going, this is why we work for him, because there's something bigger coming. And we know that when God rings the bell, he's gone, he's out of here, so we better be ready to take it. These are people that are unchurched that can catch it. And the next week, Rodney and I have to go back into history to fix some things. I don't want to go. this week. The purpose of Joseph's dream was to save a whole family, a whole nation. And so when Joseph's brother came to buy grain, he recognized them, but he hid himself through an interpreter. I realized that when I read that on Wednesday night, we had just had this dinner, and the Lord says, you hid through a different language who you were, and I still showed up. I didn't talk God and Jesus. She caught that. Sometimes you have to speak through an interpreter to reveal the fourth man in the room. She took a pot shot at me. Oh, what do you think about gays? I'm like, I love them. What kind of preacher are you? One that says, love thy neighbor as thyself. I need to do that first before I could ever teach you my doctrine. I passed that test. She opened up like a flower. Joseph tested his brothers. He knew God had put him in this great place of power. But listen, there's always this axe to grind. The ones that sold you into slavery. The ones that didn't believe you had a dream big enough for mom and dad and the kids to bow down to. You know, that's usually the family members of the crushings and the T.D. Jakes on this talk. He says, his one daughter that's writing and doing all this, she said, she was the least likely of all of them. Anybody feel like that? I was the least likely. But now that I'm here, how am I going to handle myself? And Joseph tested his brothers. But the biggest thing he wanted to see Benjamin. And he used this thing of Benjamin. Why? Because this is my brother, born of the same mother who my father loved. The rest of these siblings that are mean and sold me into slavery, you were born into somebody out of obedience. Not passion. What was the difference between Joseph and Benjamin? Because Jacob had been crushed by God. Remember when he had to wrestle God? And Rachel was the wife of his crushing. So Benjamin and Joseph were of a different lineage than the ten brothers. How can you have same father and different lineage? It's the nurturing side of God. It's the nurturing side of God. And I believe in 2020, God's releasing this nurturing that when you're in your prison and you're going through your crushing, there's a nurturing side of God that's going to tell you who you really are. It's going to give you patience to wait until someone has a dream they can't answer. And you've been practicing. Is this making sense? Or is it just making me feel better? Because I feel good right now. Here's the bottom line. Joseph knew God had sent him to the crushing, to the pit, to all the things that Joseph had come to the top, the pinnacle of Egypt, but he was still a slave in Egypt. And he had brothers coming into his presence who knew his father, and he didn't know his father. His father came, preserved the whole thing. The interesting thing to me was that Joseph was still a slave to Pharaoh, even though his father was in the land. How many times can we be close to a father and still be an orphan or a slave? See, Joseph got a new robe. Joseph got a new gold chain. Joseph got a signet ring. What Joseph didn't get in Scripture, he didn't get sandals. Because sandals is represented freedom. You can go anywhere you want if you had sandals. He didn't get that. He still was a slave. He was a trustworthy slave because he was allowed to even go bury his father. He trusted him to come back because he was a faithful slave. Some of us will never see our promises and dreams because we're unwilling to be faithful as a servant under somebody else who we think doesn't know how to manage our dream. Here's the moral of the story that got me the most. All this preservation that God the Father did through Joseph, through his brothers, through his dad, they're all living in the land of Goshen. Listen, Joseph says to his brothers, listen, I understand this culture. I'm a leader in it. When Pharaoh asked you, tell him that you are sheep herds, because they're despised. Excuse me? I thought you were all that in a bag of chips, big bro. You want us to tell them that we're herd, that we're shepherds? Yeah, because they're an abomination. In that culture, that's the lowest of the low. Some of you will never see your dreams if you're unwilling to go low. If you think you're going to come to the top, start off at the top, you're wrong. And Joseph, he managed his whole family. He says, he picked five and brought him into the presence of Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked him, hey, what have you done? Well, he said, we've been herders. For our fathers are sheep herders. And he says, Joseph says, I would like to have them to the best of the land of Goshen. Pharaoh goes, put your family there. And by the way, pick some faithful one out and give them my animals too. See, we're unwilling to let God take us in our gifting and manage somebody else's sheep. Here's the interesting thing, though. Jacob dies. And the brothers had fear. What if Joseph has been harboring hatred toward us? Now that Dad's gone, his love for Dad may give him an opportunity to reveal his hatred toward us for what we did. When the proper relationship with the father is not intact, you will battle your ability to forgive and mature forgiveness into innocence. His brothers came to them and actually lied to him. He says, before Dad died, Dad gave us a decree that you should be kind to us and not retaliate us. Anybody done it? Mom said, be good to me. Well, that's what they were doing because somehow their own guilt, their own shame was not a seedbed to see that God had sent Joseph ahead of and that Joseph was going to do the godly thing no matter what. Listen, if you don't know the Father in the proper manner, you'll never receive forgiveness, nor will you walk in innocence. And Joseph broke down and cried and tried to explain to his brothers one more time, what you meant for evil, God was making for good. I hold nothing against you. I'll still protect you. I'll still feed you and your children. Joseph never lost his purpose. Even after Jacob died and his crazy knucklehead brothers were still operating in fear, he was shocked that they hadn't picked up the fact that Joseph was sent by God. He said, you didn't sell me to Egypt, God did. No, the brothers didn't sell him to Egypt. They sold him to the Hittites, who sold him to the Potiphar, who went to Egypt. Listen, God's in this. God's in your journey. And the crushings you go through and the rejections you go through is all preparation to see what you're going to do when real power comes. What are you going to do with real authority? It's all funny until you hear God. It's all funny. Hey, we're not following the CFO underneath the stairwell. We're following the preacher because that's who he's following. You know, it's like Rodney said, and the thought came. I thought, you bunch of idiots. Because if God's in this and I got to talk to that tornado, I'm going to yell at it. Because I'm not going to get killed by a tornado. And if I got to get out there and speak at it in the rain and you're following me, you're going to get wet. But I want to watch that tornado go. That's what I want to see. But I didn't set that up. It was funny. It was humorous. No, God set that up. And the question is, are you going to have the chutzpah, the guts, to talk to the tornado? They seem to have trust you more than you trust you, Charlie. That's what he said to me. What have you been reading all week? Listen, I'm the busiest schedule of ever. And I read 13 chapters. Studied 13 chapters. What you been reading all week? You would hesitate to talk to that storm? Yep, I would. He said, then you're still Joseph the slave, not Charlie the son. Okay, you don't need a trial to prove this. What are you? I was sharing with Susie this morning. I have had at least 7 or 8 prophecies early on that I was a Joseph. And I started studying it. But I didn't like what Joseph did. And this is where when I tapped into sonship, I really quit studying Joseph. Because you reproduce who you are. Case in point, Joseph was a slave. If that's the principle I live by, you reproduce who you are. All of the Egyptians wound up losing their land. All the Egyptians lost all their livestock, and they sold it to Pharaoh. So within 17 years, Joseph made every Egyptian a slave to Pharaoh. Why? Because leadership reproduced who they actually are. Even though his dad, his real father, was living in the land, he was still a slave. Those chains are coming off. Listen, I'm not a slave. I got my sandals on. I got my gold chain. I got my signet ring. I got my robe on. I'm not a slave. And I realized if they fired me tomorrow, it would be the dinner bell. I was like, oops, time to go to public for the ministry. Because the day, I'm telling you, I was born for bigger than selling lights. It's been a great vehicle. But that's the Volkswagen. For what God's called us to do. So Susie sends me this T.D. Jakes message. We'll listen to it on the plane. And I obey my wife, mostly. And so before I got there, I downloaded it on my instead of trying to get internet, I downloaded it. And it was T.D. Jakes talking about his journey. Talking about his crushings. And he's talking about, listen, I had this thing in me. Now, you got to realize, all week I've been reading Joseph. I had this thing in me like Joseph. Now, I'm on an airplane, I'm bawling, got my headsets on. This idiot next to me wants to argue about, is there 3 gods or 1 God, because he was Jesus only. And I didn't want to talk to him, so I figured, I'll smack him around here a little bit. I said, listen, I don't even want to talk to you about it. Let me explain something to you. I said, are you a body, soul, and spirit? Are you a 3-part being? Well, yes. I said, well, you're made in God's image. Shut up. And I didn't talk to him the whole time. But I dealt with that one. Because I was too busy. I was trying to get what God was trying to give me.
Yes.
And T.D. Jakes is talking about his journey. He said, let's get real here. He says, the night that I was on national television for the first time, he goes, I had grandma's answering phone in the kitchen of my little storefront church. I had to drive to Ohio to buy a duplicating machine to reduplicate the tapes. He says, I had hit the big time and realized I wasn't ready for the big time. He said, I had a little storefront church, but I had a calling to preach the gospel. He goes, I can remember when they told me I couldn't preach.
Yes.
They told me I wasn't no good. And there was one little old lady. I'm hearing this because my wife told me to listen. And it's my week. He's got all the stuff going on. He says, I'm going to preach this one message and I'm never preaching again. Why? Because fame will destroy you if you hadn't gone through the preparation.
Yes.
And this one old lady waited. And he went to her on the way out. She said, Bishop, I was in the hospital. My baby was dead. It went toxic. They thought I was going to die. But Bishop, your preaching saved my life. I come to tell you, you ain't preaching for them. You're preaching for me.
Yes.
You're preaching for me.
Yes.
He said he cried all the way home. He said, you can have all the fame, but if you can't enjoy the one dinner with the one person, the enemy will misuse your crushing.
Yes.
She said, he said, 10 years later, he's all that in a bag of chips. He's doing a book thing. This lady comes up, Bishop, remember me? No, I don't. He said, I'm the lady that came to you on Evangel Temple that day. She's healthy. He said, I've been looking for you for 10 years to tell you thank you. That's why we do what we do. Joseph said the same thing. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
My motive right now is, God, help me manage my dream. Help me manage my crushings. Help me manage my failures. And trust the friends that will give me a truthful criticism. Because then I can trust their accolades. I'd had a conversation with a friend of mine, Dave King, before I got on the airplane. We had talked last week, and he criticized me on some things or challenged me. And then I heard that in that message. I can trust your compliments because you give me truthful criticisms.
Yes.
That's when you know the crushings have done what it was designed to do. How many need to re-manage your dreams? Listen, I believe the story of Joseph is fresh for me. And I got all the verses and stuff if you want and all that. I'm here to tell you. What you thought was a dream killer was an opportunity to deal with something on the inside of you that will destroy you when the power comes or the authority comes. Start embracing it. Start embracing it. Bishop Jake said something on that tape that, he said, listen, my kids are gone. I don't need the house I got. And he said, me and Mama wound up in a trailer. It'd be okay. You know, I walked around that place. I'd rather not get fired, but if I did, I did. If it was time to go, it's okay. You need to come to those places of your life. If you still need some nurturing, some mothering from God, it's time to nestle on up. Get the milk that you need. Get the nourishment you need. But get your identity. Get your identity in Him. Dang it. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your dream. Because I believe in your dream, you'll find your purpose. When you find your purpose, you'll find the power. And it's to save a nation. Stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you for your scriptures. I thank you for those chapters. They've got so much truth, Lord. We could preach 150 messages out of those 12 chapters. I thank you. You're the dream giver. You're not the dream killer. I rebuke the dream killers in your lives. Tell you to start dreaming again. I rebuke discouragement and false identity that the prison you're in or the pressure you're under is so demonic that you can't find God. That's a lie. Because that's where God's trying to train you in those areas. Some of you believe it's demonic frustration, but I believe it's God with sandpaper right now, polishing you, preparing you for your next promotion. Church, I heard it clear as a bell this morning. The prodigal, the orphan, the broken are trying to get into the front door. I heard it so clear I went and looked. And if we're not ready for them, we won't know what to do with them. But they're coming. Lord, in the next season, I'm asking you to release the spirit of wisdom to stand beside your people and give them wisdoms and strategies to reevaluate, reorganize, and reapply the process of their dreams. Break false humility. I break false humility off of us, that we would rather have false humility instead of your promises and your blessing. Because some of us are afraid of power, influence, and responsibility. We call it false. I don't know who I'm talking to, because I think I dealt with this one already. Stop using false humility as an excuse to be the greatness that he called you to do. God's looking for some TD Jakes's that has the influence to pack a stadium and preach the gospel. Why not you? And maybe some of you need to find a Susie to put your head in her lap when you can't find hope and listen to her worship. Change the atmosphere. And then get up and go see what a man that believed God can do. And not be jealous, but rejoice and give yourself hope. Let me tell you something. God is humorous in the middle of all this. That was an hour and 58 minute message Susie gave me to listen to. And I'm like, too long for a flight from Dallas to Orlando. And the Lord says, don't worry about it. I got you covered. Well, we have a storm, so we have to fly to Indianapolis first. And now we add an hour and a half to the whole plane ride. God's got you covered when he wants you to hear what you need to hear. Get over your bad self and listen. You know, we talked about Jeff's going to do testimonies. Listen, T.D. Jakes' testimony birth something back in me. Sometimes we forget to listen to someone's testimony, say how good God was for them, and we forget to go, I want that. I want that. I want that. Oh, you're so good to her. Can I have some of that? Because he's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good dad. I want that. Say that. Say, I want that. Find something that only God could do that someone's bragging on God and go, I want that. I want some of that. You ever been around your siblings and they get a bowl of ice cream? I want some. I want that.
I want yours.
I want yours too. I want double scoop. I think that's where we're at. It gave me hope this week. I need to lose a little weight. Those are hard concrete floors. I'm sore. I'm tired. I ate good. But I walked out of one of the toughest, could have been the toughest weeks of my life, going, you're good. See, it's not false humility when you cry because you know that you aren't that good. Do you know how many times you wanted to quit? How many times Susie told us to quit? How many times I tried to quit and she wouldn't let me? I didn't preach to the masses there, but I touched a couple lives. Isn't it amazing how two little sparks start a raging fire in your heart? Just breathe on your dreams. Breathe on your dreams. Don't be like his brothers who couldn't believe that he's as good as he was and did not know that he had already forgiven them and actually declared them innocent. Quit manipulating something God's already given you. Go and sin no more.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.